Our scripture lesson for this sermon is 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are gracious and good to us in giving us your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand how we ought to apply this, that your spirit be applying it to our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, obviously, as a church, y'all have moved from praying for a pastor to praying for your pastor. And so as I have these last two shots to get in, right, before he gets here. But I want to take this time to talk about prayer. Both this week, we're going to talk about praying for your pastor, and then next week, praying for each other as a body as you go through this next change in your church life. And so this morning, we are going to talk about how and why and how we can pray, how you can pray for Pastor Dane Johansson, as he prepares to come here. And it's interesting, as we look at this passage, there's two verbs that this passage revolves around. It's respect or know and esteem. And I think that you respect and you esteem your pastor through praying for him, through praying for him. So now, how are you to relate to your pastor? So the two commands, Paul that says, "We ask you, brothers," so he's speaking to these Thessalonian Christians, and he's saying, "Hey, we ask you first to respect," or if you use King James, "to know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them." So these two verbs, to respect or to know, and then to esteem, is how Paul here says you're to relate to your pastor. Now, the first verb's interesting. So the more literal translation is the King James, to know. But the idea is not just a mere knowledge of facts, right? That you know that in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right? That's not the knowing that's here. It's a deeper knowing. And this is why the ESV translates it respect. It's that you know those who labor among you, and you know them in the sense that you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses, you know their good things, you know their flaws, you know their foibles, all those things. You know who they are. And you know them in a particular way, and this is why the ESV translates it respect. And so the idea is not that you have an arm's length knowledge of those who labor among you, those who are your pastor, that man who is your pastor. It says, rather, you're to have a respect for them which flows out of knowing him and knowing that he's a redeemed sinner just like you, who is being made more and more like Christ each and every day as the Spirit works in him, just as the Spirit works in you. So you're to relate to your pastor to know him. And then the second verb's interesting because it's we are to esteem them. And I like how Paul puts it here. You're to esteem them because of their work. Not you're to esteem them because they're so charismatic. Not to esteem them because they're such a great guy. Not to esteem them because he fits all of your personality quirk checkmark boxes. You're to esteem him because of his work. To esteem him because of his work. So in other words, there's a respect and esteem which flows out of the relationship. You know the man. You respect and esteem him. But there's also a respect and esteem that flows from the work itself, from the office and the duties of that man. Now, both of these, he says, we ask you to respect and to esteem. These are commanded. They're not just one or the other. So it's not that you can just say, "Hey, I know him, but I don't really esteem him." I always like how he says, esteem him very highly. Esteem them very highly. Now, how are you to do this? Now, You are about to enter right into the honeymoon stage, right? The pastor's about to move here. The house is like, hopefully that you said the house has been bought here. I'm sure there's stuff back there in Arizona that has to be figured out, all that good stuff. But it's about to be a honeymoon, right? In which you get to know one another, right? And like in marriage, the honeymoon usually ends when you figure out, I love this book. I can't remember the name of the author. I think it's Dave Harvey. It says, when sinners say I do, right? Right, because that's what happens, right? You get married and you figure out, I married a sinner. Lo and behold, who knew? And the same thing here is that y'all are going to go through a honeymoon stage where eventually you're going to figure each other out. And so I think instead of just waiting for the other shoe to drop, say, oh, how is he going to be this time? What kind of pastor is this going to be? What's he going to mess up this? No, you need to be taking that time to pray for him. And then also to pray for your fellow church members. So this new pastor that you're going to have, whom you've met a few times, and you're still going to have time to build a deep relationship with, you need to know how to pray for him. So I think that you ought to pray for him based on this passage. So what should you pray for, Pastor Dane, based on this passage? It says, to respect those who labor among you. So first you ought to pray for his labor among you. His labor among you. All the pastoral labors that he has, that he's going to have here in a few weeks when he gets moved over here, all of those things should be subject to your prayers. So pray for the various duties that he has to have. Pray for his preaching. Pray for it. Pray that the Lord would empower him to have time and to use the time well that he has to prepare his sermons. Pray that the Lord would anoint his voice too as he preaches. Pray that the Lord would give him ideas and understanding about the text so he can apply it to the heart of each and every one of you. That's what you ought to pray for with his preaching. You ought to pray that his preaching, that the Lord would anoint his preaching. Pray for his leading the worship service. Pray for that. He's coming from a different denomination. You know, he doesn't know all the quirks and foibles, right? The different things that you do. So pray for him as he leads the worship service and he figures those things out. Pray for him as he prepares the pastoral prayer and as he prepares the exhortation for the Lord's Supper, as he prepares the prayers for the Lord's Supper, that the Lord would anoint those. Pray for those things. Pray for him as he shepherds the flock. Pray that he would smell like his sheep. Smell like y'all, that he would get to know y'all, that he would know what needs to be done. Pray for his discipleship of the flock, that he would see what areas, who needs to be discipled and how so. Pray for his visiting of the sick. Pray for him as he goes, as people get in the hospital or whatever it might be. Pray for him as he goes and visits the sick. Pray for his ministry to the dying. I always think it's weird that part of a pastor's job description is you are there at the happiest moments of people's lives and you're there at the most miserable moments of people's lives. That a part of my job, every pastor's job, revolves around the fact that you are to go to those who are dying and remind them of the gospel or to exhort them to repent and believe if they haven't. I always think it's weird. How you put that on a resume? I don't know. But it's part of the duties. So pray for him in his ministry to the dying. Pray for his ministry to the bereaved. Pray for him that he might know how to minister to those who've lost loved ones. Pray for his ministry in the larger church as he represents y'all at presbytery and at council. Pray for him in all these various duties. So pray for him as he labors among you. I like how he says, who labor among you. Right? He's not going to be far off. He's going to be here. That's why you can't have a far off pastor. He has to be amongst his people. And so pray for him as he labors among you. Now next, pray for his authority over you. Right? He says, to respect those who are over you in the Lord, who have authority over you. Now pray that he would use his authority well. pray that he would use his authority justly. Pray that he would use his authority to help souls become more like Christ. Pray for him. Pray for his authority. Pray that he would know how to use it. And then pray, it says there, the last part, it says, we were to respect those who admonish you. So pray for him as he admonishes you. The image of Christ, right? He is the good shepherd. And one of the old terms that's not used very much is that pastors are his under-shepherds. Right? They report to the great shepherd, right? They report to the good shepherd. They are under shepherds. And I always think it's interesting. I worked, you know, my grandpa, he had cattle. And so my job when we would work cattle is eventually you get promoted and stuff. So eventually I got promoted to hotshot guy, right? I had the hotshot, which meant, right, that's a little boy. I had the control of where these cattle were going as long as the chute, right? Because sometimes they figured out that they go down the chute, they get clamped in the chute, and then things start to hurt. So they don't want to go down there. And so a hot shot, which is, you know, you're providing electricity to their rear end, motivates them to go down into the chute. Right? We would admonish the cow to go down to the end of the chute. Okay? A pastor, right? The word pastor literally means shepherd. It's from the Latin words for shepherd. And shepherds carry a staff, right? They carry a crook. Okay? Now you can think of it's like a candy cane. Now, it has two ends, right? The shepherd's crook has two ends. There's the hook end for when the sheep are going off where they're not supposed to. You can grab them by their neck and pull them back. And then there's the flat bottom part when they're not going where they're supposed to. You can provide some admonishment to their rear end and get them going to where they're supposed to. Your pastor, if he's doing his job, is going to admonish you. He's going to admonish you. And pray that he would not shrink back from doing so. Pray that he would not shrink back from correcting those who need correction, from reproving those who need reproof, from rebuking those who need rebuke. Pray that he wouldn't shrink back. Pray that he wouldn't shrink back. Pray that the Lord would give him courage in those moments. Pray that he would give him courage, because he'll need it. Pray that the Lord would give him peace in those moments, that he would trust the Lord for knowing what to do is right, and that he would do it. And so as you think about how you can pray for your pastor, you pray for him. You pray that he, as he labors among you, pray for his labors. Pray for his authority over you. And pray that he admonishes you well. And sometimes the best pastors are the ones that admonish you, and then they go away, and you think, that was very nice of him. I think he just corrected me and told me everything I was doing wrong. And now but he did it so kindly. Pray that he would do that. Pray that he would admonish you, that he would do so as a shepherd with care and with love. Pray for these things. Now, how should you pray for your pastor? He says to esteem them very highly in love. So pray for your pastor because you love him as a brother in Christ. Just as you would pray for other brothers in Christ, pray for him. Pray for him because you love him as a minister of the gospel. Pray for him that he's been called and ordained to this task of shepherding y'all, of shepherding this church, that you would love him as he does that, as a minister of the gospel. So you should pray for your pastor in love because you love him. Because you love him. And pray for him because you know he's going to get it right and he's going to get it wrong. One of the church members I had in my first church, he's a very, very gracious man. He'd been a dairy farmer like since Moses' time. And he was one of those great godly men that he was very encouraging, both when you got it right and when you got it wrong. Because he would come to you, and when I got it wrong as a young pastor, and he would very gently correct me and show me how I ought to be doing it. Not thumping his chest, not anything like that. But he knew, I was a young pastor, and he knew, since he had been dairying since Moses' time, that young pastors get it wrong. Even old pastors get it wrong on occasion. And so pray for him knowing he's going to get it right. But also pray for him knowing he's sometimes going to get it wrong. He's going to make the wrong call. He's going to make the wrong decision. But you should pray for that in love. In love. And you should pray for your pastor being at peace with others. I think it's interesting how he talks about that you ought to respect those who labor among you. You ought to esteem them. And then he says, be at peace among yourselves. As if one of the greatest ways you can do that is to be at peace among each other. So pray that the unity of the body, that the unity of this church would always be preserved even through difficulty and hardship. It's easy to be unified when everything's easy and up to the right. But when there's difficulty and there's hardship, that's when it's hard to remain unified. But pray that you and other church members would be at peace with each other. And pray that your pastor would help to spread this peace. Now you should pray for your pastor in love, and you should pray for him at peace when you're being at peace with others, which means that if you're not at peace with others, then you need to either do some repenting and then ask for forgiveness, or you need to go tell the others how they've wronged you and begin the process of reconciliation. Because peace doesn't just mean, okay, everything's okay. Right, peace means that hostilities have ceased. Hostilities have ceased. Not that there never was any hostilities to begin with, but they have been done away with. They have been dealt with, which means that there has been reconciliation offered. So you ought to pray to be at peace with one another. So how often should you pray for your pastor? Now, this isn't in our text, but I think you ought to pray for your pastor regularly. You ought to make it a regular topic of your prayer in private devotions and also during family worship. You ought to pray for him regularly because he's going to need it. He's going to need it. But you ought to also pray, especially when your pastor asks for prayer. Pray for him. Part of knowing and respecting and esteeming your pastor is knowing how you can pray for him. Which might mean that you need to ask, how can I pray for you? So you ought to pray especially for your pastor when he asks for prayer, when you ask him and then he tells you. Pray for him, especially that time. And then also pray especially when you disagree with your pastor. Pray especially then. Pray that the Lord would give you and would give your pastor grace with one another. Because part of what happens with pride is when pride happens, usually prayer goes out the window. Because I know what's right as I thump my chest. I don't need God to tell me what's right. I don't need God to tell me how to do nothing. Then pride happens. So pray for him, especially when you disagree with him. And pray for him especially when there's conflict, either in the larger church or the local body. Pray for him that the Lord would give him wisdom and understanding to know how to deal with those things. Now, as you go through these, and I guess the last question is, how long should you pray for your pastor? Till he either goes somewhere else or he dies, right? You ought to pray for him. And then if he goes somewhere else, you ought to still pray for him. Because the interesting thing, there's one, I can't remember who it was, but there's one pastor, I think he's a Puritan pastor, said a pastor leaving his church ought to be like a divorce, because there's so much bound up in each partner that it's like almost like ending a marriage. Which means y'all are about to get married. And that means that it's a serious thing. But it's also a joyous thing. It's a great thing. And it's something that ought to be done with a lot of prayer. And just like as you would pray for your spouse throughout your marriage, you ought to pray for your pastor. Regularly. Regularly. And especially in these particular moments when he needs it. Now, I think that for many of us, or maybe just for me, is the problem with prayer is it doesn't feel like you're doing anything. It feels like, okay, we prayed, okay, whatever. It doesn't feel like you're doing anything. But actually, as a church, don't underestimate how much the united prayer of a church for her pastor can strengthen and hold up her pastor. Don't underestimate that, because the Lord, in fact, is at work, just as he's at work every week at the table, just as he's at work every week in the sermon, just as he's at work every week in the prayers, in the scripture readings. He is at work in your private prayers, and he is at work when you pray for your pastor. Now, it might be that you pray for your pastor, and you know him, and that's all, but you don't really know a whole lot about him. You don't know a whole lot. Know that even in those moments, the Lord's using those prayers to strengthen and uphold your pastor. And so your prayers are the means by which the Holy Spirit can strengthen your pastor, for battles you may not even ever know about. Because part of being a pastor is sometimes you hold everyone's secrets. And you know things about people that would curl other people's toenails, and you can't say anything. And so, pray for him. Pray for him. Because he needs that strength. And then, from time to time, go and ask your pastor how you can pray for him, how you can pray for his wife, or you can pray for his children. Because his wife and his children need your prayers as well. And do so out of love, not for the sake of gossip. Oh, did you know, Pastor? Did you know his wife? No, do so out of love. And then a way to show your pastor love is send your pastor the occasional text or email or signal message or any of the variety of ways that we contact one another nowadays and tell him you prayed for him. Pray, tell him. Tell him. Not that you're bragging or anything like that, but you want him to know, hey, you might not feel like anybody's praying for you, but I am. And I want you to know that. So as you think about Pastor Dane and his coming here in a couple of weeks, the thing that you can do now, even if you can't feel like, well, we can't help him, you know, once the moving trucks get here, you know, we can all load up and help him move. But until then, there's not a whole lot we can do. Well, you can start praying right now. You can start praying for him right now. And you can pray that the Lord would anoint his ministry, that all the various things that have to happen for him, you can begin praying for him. Just as a moment ago, we had witness to that during the prayers of the church. You can pray for him right now. And so this morning, as y'all are about to begin the next step in y'all's life as a church, and we're very excited that y'all are going to have it on Saturday so we can be here, like, because we plan on coming for the installation service. We're very excited about that. But we're going to have to drive like 12 hours from New Mexico the day before to get here. So, but not so excited about that part. But we're excited about the installation service. And so, even as you approach that date in which the church officially recognizes, hey, Dane Johansson's our pastor, pray for him. Pray for his duties, pray for his labors, even though he hasn't necessarily started yet. Pray for him. And know that the Lord uses your prayers. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are gracious, that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are merciful and kind. And we do pray for Pastor Johansson this morning. Lord God, we pray that you would be strengthening him for the labors that he has to do here. Lord God, we pray that you would strengthen his preaching, that his leadership, his administration, all the various things, his shepherding. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen him for the task. And Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you would help CTK, that you would help them to be people of prayer, that they would be lifting up, that they'd be holding up the arms of their pastor, just as Moses' arms were held up. And Lord God, that you would help them to do so in prayer. Lord God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.